From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, campaigning for Ipswich City Council and Ipswich West enters its final hours. Former Ipswich councillor Cheryl Bromage joins the show one more time before Saturday with further analysis and insights. We'll chat about how candidates are feeling at this stage of the campaign and the ugly side of elections. It's Thursday, March 14, 2024, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present, and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetix, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. Thank you for speaking with Ipswich Today, Cheryl Bromage.
Thanks, Alan. Great to be with you.
Campaigning's in its final hours, and it's about the time exhaustion sets in for candidates, I'm sure. There are 133,368 voters on the roll in Ipswich City. I'm sure everybody hasn't been door-knocked, but how are the candidates feeling about now?
Well, I actually was down at pre-poll today, and some of the candidates look a little bit despondent. I think the difference in campaign from when they ran during COVID, because as you know, they just put cards on tables and walked away. I think others are feeling a little bit probably undecided how they feel, but they're out there remaining positive and trying to work hard to get elected.
48 hours of early voting to go as we record this, and then Saturday will be a big day, of course. There's been a couple of nasty attempts I've seen at discrediting some candidates. I shouldn't be surprised, but what have you seen this time, and how does it compare to your time as a councillor?
Look, no matter what, you're a brave person, put your name forward and put yourself out there. I've seen some of the nasty stuff. It happens every time there's an election, no matter whether it's a federal, state or a local. And some of these people are failed candidates and cannot accept that they were not selected by the community. Others are people who are not even brave enough to put their name down. And the others really are keyboard warriors. And if you go to see them face to face, they can't repeat it to you. And I've even seen state members get involved in this campaign. And, you know, it's a sad indictment on community that you just can't have people have a go and have a fair go.
I'm still seeing on social media some commentary from some voters who still don't have a clue about candidates and who to vote for. At this stage of the campaign, how widespread do you think this lack of knowledge is?
I think it's pretty widespread because I speak to people in the general community as I sort of go out my daily sort of coffee or lunch or even going just down to the post box, and people stop me and ask me, who's running for what division? Do you know who they are? We've received nothing. And that's a lot different to when I ran, because we actually did street stalls, we did a lot of mail outs, and we're actually out there. I was there 2 years before I even stood for election to try and actually get known by the community. So I think that's some of the secret, is to get out early and actually do things in the community before you put your name forward.
Now you've mentioned that little bit of history. What have you witnessed this time around that are new methods of promoting yourself? What are the candidates doing that's new?
I think they're using social media a lot. I see a lot of the sponsored ads from a lot of the candidates, but they forget there's demographics who don't have Facebook, don't have social media, and they rely on the post or going to community events to see these people. So there's still that old-time method that's been tried and tested that get people across the line.
This close to election day, are you prepared to make any predictions yet? Firstly, for council.
Oh, it's still really tough out there. Everyone's playing their cards close to the chest. Same with the state election. So I think, you know, we're not going to know till we actually watch it come up on Saturday night.
I'll be brave enough to tip Division 2 will be Tully and Jonick returned comfortably, but I'm not going to make any other predictions.
Yeah, it's just so difficult. And normally there's some clear front runners when it's actually been previous elections, but I think this time It's anyone's race.
Let's talk about the by-election in Ipswich West. It's getting a lot of Brisbane coverage, and I've even seen some commentary this week that the LNP is, smelling a victory. How realistic is that view?
Well, I was looking back at the figures from when the seat was won last time by the LNP by Sean Choate. Wayne Wen had a margin at the time of 9.5. Jim Madden, the former member, had a margin of 14.3, but it took a swing of 16.8 for Sean to win the seat. So you could see anything's attainable when you see that. And a comparison of a bigger swing was also for the seat of Ipswich. It had a 20.9% swing, and they at the time had a 16.7% margin. So anything is possible. If the swing's on, it's on.
Let's go back to summarising the campaigns overall. Back to council, you've got your finger on the pulse. How many people have voted already?
So close to 28,000 people have voted already for pre-poll, and I've noticed in the last 3 days at least 4,000 people per day are going to pre-poll. And I know that just over 16,000 people have applied for postal votes. So you can see the change in people's behaviour that is now just not a sporadic pre-poll. People seem to be pre-polling a lot more rather than turn up on the day itself on the Saturday.
Why do you think that is? Because they've still got to run the gauntlet of people handing out how to vote cards.
I think a lot of people pass these places on their way to work, take the opportunity. And, of course, this weekend here at Ipswich, we got CMC Rock. So a lot of people are heading out at lunchtime to Willowbank. So they want to get it done and dusted so they don't get a fine.
That's fair enough. Now, what about Ipswich West? Are the numbers readily available for how many have voted yet?
Not as yet. They seem to be running a bit of a different system, and I'm happy to send them to you, Alan, and so you can post them up for everybody once I see them.
Cheryl Bromwich, thanks for your frequent visits to Ipswich Today over the last few weeks. We've had some great feedback from listeners, and we certainly appreciate that. And we'll see what happens on Saturday, March 16. Thanks for speaking with Ipswich Today.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for the opportunity, and good luck to everybody.
And that's it for this episode. Don't forget to check the handy links in the show notes. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener-supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.